The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, Thursday night football went pretty unexpectedly, I'd say, for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they were horrific, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Things went just exactly as I expected, because I called it. Carson Wentz is going to throw a stupid interception. He did. Don't get me wrong. He was having a night. That offensive line was not really blocking a lot. And it was just a terrible night for the Minnesota Vikings just overall, but a great night for the Los Angeles Chargers. They got the win 37-10. Justin Herbert had a fantastic night. He went 18 for 25 and 227 yards with three touchdowns, and they got some help on the ground as well with Vidal in the backfield. He had 117 yards and a touchdown, so big win for the Chargers. They definitely needed it, and big loss for the Vikings because you know, I was saying Carson Wentz, he definitely ain't in. You might want to just put J.J. McCarthy out there. And so we'll see what happens with the Vikings, but definitely not a good showing from them last night. All right, so let's get into the rest of Week 8 and what we have going on this weekend. Also, my head-to-head matchup between Simon Ruvalcaba and I went 12-3 last week to bring my record up to 69-38. He went 11-4, bringing his record to 70-37, so he has a game lead on me. Except for last night, we both had different teams. I had the Chargers, he had the Vikings, so we are all tied up heading into the rest of the weekend. So let's start off with the first game we have on Sunday is the Miami Dolphins at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 7.5-point favorite, and, you know, Miami, they just keep reeling. They're just circling the drain further and further down, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to get out. The Atlanta Falcons, on the other hand, they at least have some spark. They've got Bijan Robinson, they've got Michael Penix Jr., and they at least have a couple of things working for them on the offensive side of the ball where they definitely should probably tear apart the Dolphins. I don't even really think this is going to be a good game. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a good game, but I just kind of feel like it's going to be all Atlanta all day. I've got the Falcons winning 28-14. Then we have the New York Jets at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 5.5-point favorite, and the Jets are just like the Dolphins, just circling the drain. Nothing is working for them. I kind of feel like it's just like a real struggle for them each and every week to even get anything going, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Whereas the Bengals, they got a nice spark with Joe Flacco at quarterback last week. He's really fit in the last couple of weeks since they made the trade for him. And so, yeah, I pretty much expect this to be all Bengals and for them to get right back, just to keep it moving, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You can already tell. Flacco already knows. Just get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and everything will work out. So I think this is going to be a pretty good game for the Bengals. I've got them winning 27-10. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 6.5-point favorite. And Cleveland, another team, not really having a good year. Defensively, they are damn good. But offensively, it is a struggle. But New England, on the other hand, they're actually playing really solid football this year. I still think there's a lot of work to do. But hey, they're leading their division right now. They're on a nice little winning streak here. And they're just playing really solid football, and I expect them to continue that in this one. I do think the Cleveland defense is going to step it up and be a problem for New England's offense in this one, but I do have New England winning 20-14. Then we have the New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 7.5-point favorite. Actually, right before I started the podcast, it was announced that A.J. Brown is actually going to be out of this game with a hamstring injury. So that's definitely going to be a problem for the Eagles. But they're going up against the Giants. The Giants have just been a roller coaster of a team this year. They've been up, they've been down, they've been in close games, they've lost bad games. And, you know, last week they blew a 33-point, or they gave up 33 points in the fourth quarter and had a 19-0 lead over the Denver Broncos and just completely shit the bed. The Eagles, they haven't really been dominating at all this year. Last week was probably their best showing. overall as a team. I mean, Jalen Hurts really opened it up offensively. But like I said, this injury to A.J. Brown could be an issue. But even so, I think the Eagles are just a much better team than the Giants. And like I said, the Giants have been riding the roller coaster. And I think the Eagles are much more on solid ground right now than the Giants. So I've got the Eagles winning a close one, 24-21. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Bills are a 7.5-point favorite, and that sounds about right. You know, the Panthers, they've had their moments this year where they stick in close games, but I just kind of feel like this is not going to be a good game at all for them. I just feel like the Bills are coming off of not only their bye week, but a two-game losing streak. So I just kind of feel like this team is ready to go, and the Panthers are going to be a good get-right team for them. I actually don't think this is going to be a close game in any way. I've got the Bills winning 35-17. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 6.5-point favorite. It's looking like Lamar Jackson's going to play. Don't know yet, though. They haven't really announced it. I kind of feel like it's going to be one of those things where we don't hear about it till maybe Sunday. But even so, I kind of feel like the Bears are kind of due for a loss. Baltimore's due for a win. Chicago's not a surefire team. They still have a lot of growth. And I just kind of feel like Baltimore's coming off of a bye week, and regardless of who plays at quarterback, if they get Lamar Jackson back at quarterback, I definitely believe in this team. But even so, even without Lamar Jackson, I still think the Ravens are going to get the win in this one, simply because I think it's just one of those games where it feels like it's time for Chicago to lose, time for Baltimore to get a win, and Baltimore's just going to put it together and get the win in this one, 26-20. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Texans are a 1.5-point favorite. It's looking like Brock Purdy is going to start in this one. So the Niners have been missing him this year, but the games he's played, they haven't looked that good. But even so, Houston, they have problems on the offense. That's for damn sure. But defensively, not a lot of problems. And I kind of feel like this is going to be a Houston Texans defensive type game where I think they're going to cause some turnovers that potentially either A, are like a pick six, or just set their offense up in good field position and their offense is just going to take advantage of that. I just don't really, San Francisco's offense beyond Christian McCaffrey, really there's nothing else going on. And I kind of feel like the Texans defense is going to take care of business. They're really going to get at Brock Purdy. And I actually don't think Christian McCaffrey is really going to break out in this one. I think the Texans are going to have a solid defensive day. And I think the Texans are going to get the win 20-17. Then our afternoon games, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 6.5-point favorite. New Orleans is just one of the worst teams in the league. And even though this is a division matchup, I just kind of feel like Tampa Bay is coming off of a loss. They're probably pretty pissed off. Tampa, New Orleans, they don't like each other. And I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those games where it's just all Baker all day. And I've got the Buccaneers winning easy, 41-16. Then we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 3.5-point favorite. But I just really like what I see from this Cowboys offense. I think defensively, they've been slowly getting better. Still have a lot of work to do on that defensive side of the ball. But they really actually have shown, they showed a lot last week. I mean, they were able to actually take care of the ground attack. They were able to keep Jaden Daniels in check. And then ultimately, he actually ended up going out of the game. Denver's offense is not really solid. They are very loosey-goosey and just don't have a lot going on. But with that being said, I think this is going to be a close game. I mean, the Cowboys they don't play well against the Broncos. They just historically don't play well against them, especially in recent years. It's actually, I don't remember the exact stat, but I'm pretty sure the last time we even beat the Broncos was before the last Super Bowl that the Cowboys won. I mean, so it's been a minute since the Cowboys beat the Broncos, and I just kind of feel like this is one of those games where it's going to be close, it's going to be a battle, but I'm definitely going to lean towards the Cowboys offense in this one because the Cowboys offense has been on fire. They've had zero issues, and this Denver Broncos defense, while they are excellent, I just kind of feel like the Cowboys are the better team, and they're going to get this win 27-23. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. And right now the Colts are a 14.5-point favorite. So that kind of goes to show you how everyone thinks this one's going to go. because the Colts have been playing excellent football. Jonathan Taylor has been having a phenomenal year so far, and Titans are just a garbage can team. There is nothing good to say about this team, so I just think it's going to be all Colts all day. I don't think there's going to be any problems for the Colts. I wouldn't be shocked if they score on every single possession that they have on offense. I've got the Colts winning 41-7. And then our Sunday night football matchup is the Green Bay Packers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. This is Aaron Rodgers versus his old team, the Packers. This is actually the first time he's going up against the Green Bay Packers since he left. So there doesn't seem to be any animosity, though, at all on his end, at least. And he hasn't really been saying, oh, this is a revenge game, which I never really thought it was because I think that shit's stupid anyways. But even so, I think the Steelers are actually the better team. I think defensively they're better, and I think they're more, they have more weapons offensively. The Green Bay Packers offense is pretty much Jordan Love. Of course, you know, Jones in the backfield, sure, yeah, he's good too, but it's just I kind of think I lean more towards the Steelers in this one. I just think their defense is going to take care of business. I don't really think they're going to be able to get going because the Packers do have issues getting going. I mean, they haven't been buttoned up in every single game this year. So I actually think this is going to be more of a defensive game. And I just feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is going to step it up in this one. And the Pittsburgh offense is going to make enough plays to get the win in this one. I wouldn't be shocked if this comes down to like a game-winning drive, a game-winning field goal, something of that nature. But I do have the Steelers winning this one 23-21. All right, moving on to the World Series. World Series kicks off tonight. It is the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto is shockingly they've got the home field in this one because they finished with the better record over the Dodgers in this one, which is just weird. But that's because the Dodgers had a terrible regular season, but they have had a fantastic postseason run. And even though both of these teams actually match up very well against each other, I think offensively we could see one game where it's going to be like, you know, a game where it's both teams end up with like a 15-14 win, you know, something like that. I wouldn't be shocked if we have that. But also starting pitcher for both teams, pretty deep. But if I'm going with it, you know, the Dodgers are favored in this one, so for sure. You've got Vlad Guerrero for Toronto, who's just having a phenomenal postseason. I mean, he's had a solid year overall, but the postseason has just been all beautiful for him. He pretty much has shown up in every at-bat and just had an amazing postseason. So shout out to Vlad Guerrero, and I expect him to still show out. It's looking like they're going to get Bo Bichette back as well, so they're definitely going to need his not only his offense, but his defense especially, because the Dodgers offensively are just, their batting is just out of this world. So the thing is, even though Toronto's got a lot of talent and they could keep up in every way, shape, and form, the Dodgers have just been a juggernaut throughout the postseason. They have not even had a bad game. Everybody's just been playing fantastic. Everybody showed up. Every starting pitcher has been amazing. The bullpen's been amazing. The hitting has been amazing. There's no weakness on this Dodgers team. And I've said it since they beat the Phillies, and I'm going to say it again. I don't think the Blue Jays have what it takes to beat the Dodgers. The Dodgers are too healthy. They are too deep in every way. Even, let's just say, Shohei Ohtani gets injured. It doesn't fucking matter. They still are great. Let's say Freddie Freeman gets injured. It doesn't fucking matter. They're still going to be great. Hell, let's say they lose both Ohtani and Freeman. It doesn't fucking matter. They're still going to be great. I mean, the depth that they have at starting pitching is just out of this world. It's just crazy to see the 360 that this team, or the 180 that this team has done from last year, from last year's championship winning team to this year, because last year it was all their bullpen. They basically just were like pitcher by committee. It was like you'd start a dude for the first inning and then bring another dude in the third and then another dude in the fifth, and they would just basically, it was rotating pitchers, and they just relied on their great offense and defense. But this year, they could rely. Their starting pitchers are going all the way till about the eighth or ninth inning in some instances. And so to get that kind of production from your starting pitchers, and it's not shocking at all because the majority of their pitchers have been injured this year. So they've all haven't played a full season. So they're not fatigued from playing a whole season. They've actually just been rehabbing from injuries, and now they've rehabbed and whoop, here they are. So I expect the Dodgers to win this series, and I think it's going to be pretty easy. I actually have the Dodgers winning in 5 games, which really upsets me. I am rooting for Toronto 100% because I hate the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are just too damn good of a team. And it is a World Series, though. That's what I love about baseball, is anything can happen. It doesn't matter if you're going up against the best team, because if you just put together a good series, if one person, just one rando, shows up for Toronto and just has a phenomenal series, they can win it all if they're just able to put it together. But like I keep saying, the Dodgers are just, they're stacked. They are stacked from top to bottom, and I don't think it matters what happens to them. But so I got the Dodgers winning in 5 games, unfortunately, but go Toronto. All right, so moving on to the NBA, because basketball started this week, and the NBA would love us to talk about how it started, because, man, we've had some great games. I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the defending champions, and they've already had 2 games going to double overtime. And SGA last night had another solid MVP performance, picking up right where he left off last year at 55 points in last night's double overtime win. Then Wemby showed out against the Dallas Mavericks for the Spurs' first game of the season on Wednesday. The Golden State Warriors, you know, they put together a great win against my Lakers. Luka had a great game, but it didn't matter. The Golden State Warriors, they just had a fantastic game and got the win. But the problem is something else is overshadowing the league, and it's something that's been lingering, and I'm not shocked by any of this. As a matter of fact, there's probably way worse going on. It's just these aren't really big name players, and if it's ever a big name player, they're probably going to cover it up regardless. But anyways, with that being said, what we do know is a lot of shit went down yesterday in the NBA, and it had nothing to do with what was going on in the court. It all had to do with illegal gambling, and it was 2 separate instances, one being kind of the typical thing that's gone on the last couple of years since, because, you know, sports gambling has just been growing and growing and growing, especially over the last 5-ish years. It's really just accelerated to the forefront of things. So it really is a big deal if games are rigged. And one thing that's been going on is some of these lower-tiered players and coaches have actually been giving information to bettors on injuries. And so, you know, and this is involving a lot. It's not just players. It's players. It's coaches. It's refs. It's trainers. It's like people on every single level of this. Now, it's just lower tiered names right now at this point in time. I mean, the biggest name in this first instance we're talking about is Terry Rozier, but he's kind of last year he didn't really have a good season, and you could just kind of tell he's just petering out, and so he basically has just been giving information on injuries and stuff. And then, of course, one instance, which actually kind of sucks because it involves LeBron James, but it doesn't really involve LeBron James. LeBron had nothing to do with the story I'm about to tell, but I can guarantee you there are some real LeBron haters out there probably grasping their straws on this one, like, oh my God, he's a cheater, when he really had nothing to do with this. Basically, Damon Jones worked for the Lakers. I think it was during last year's game. They didn't know if LeBron was going to play. He had an injury, and it hadn't been announced whether or not he was playing or not playing. But Jones worked for the Lakers at the time, and he knew LeBron was not going to play, so he gave that information to bettors, and that actually ended up having an outcome on some people, the way they bet and who won money, and so on and so forth. But LeBron had nothing to do with it. He didn't know what was up. He had no idea what this was. He just was injured, and the information was just relayed from another person who worked for the Lakers. So LeBron had nothing to do with it. Then the other thing that is going on is, this one is a little bit more crazy to me simply because it involves a coach, and it's Chauncey Billups. Actually was a phenomenal basketball player. He played for the Detroit Pistons, a great point guard at one time, and a Hall of Fame level point guard, as a matter of fact. He's in the Hall of Fame, and now he coaches the Portland Trailblazers. As a matter of fact, he coached their first game and then got arrested the next day for illegal rigged poker games with the mafia. Yeah, basically what they were doing is they were setting up poker games, and they had like x-ray machines and like see-through goggles. Like, it's pretty crazy shit what was going on with this. But yeah, so they were basically rigging poker matches, and you know, Chauncey Billups was winning a whole bunch of money. Apparently Kevin Garnett was in on this. He's another Hall of Fame basketball player, no longer in the league. He actually has no associations with the league, really, other than, you know, coming on shows and talking about basketball, but he's not coaching or anything. Chauncey Billups is coaching in the league. Kind of have a feeling Chauncey Billups is not going to be coaching, regardless of what happens with this, because it also has not been confirmed, but if you put two and two together, it kind of sounds like Chauncey Billups had something to do with these other bettors, like I was talking about with Terry Rozier. It sounds like he possibly was involved with that. He's possibly an informant. A lot of the things align in the descriptors of who this person is that they're talking about. So it's possible that Chauncey Billups is in deeper shit than he even realizes. But it's not the way the league probably wanted the year to start out. Speaking of sports gambling, if you go to katietropp.net, click on Sports Talk with Tropp, right at the top, you can find all of my preferred sports books right up there. So if you're into sports gambling, you can sign up right up there. That would be great. But this is not what the NBA wants. I mean, the NBA has had issues with ratings for about 10 years now, for numerous issues. No need to get into any of them, but there's tons and tons of issues as to why the NBA has had lots of ratings issues and people trying to get interest in the NBA. As a matter of fact, they are the only sport since sports gambling has really started where there hasn't been an increase in viewers. I mean, even the shitty-ass WNBA has had a huge increase in viewers since all this sports betting has been going on. I mean, every sport, basically, except for the NBA. So this does not help either, because they do have their past. I mean, of refs in the past have rigged games before. And then even, you know, back in college basketball days in like the 90s with UNLV, they've had players do point shaving and stuff like that. So, you know, the NBA really wanted you to pay attention to SGA and Wemby and all the great storylines of the basketball on the court. But unfortunately, it was overshadowed by all these arrests, and it looks like there's going to be more. So this ain't going away anytime soon. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.